Chapter 4. Mary awoke before dawn's light. She was dressed, her meager possessions packed and ready to go when she heard the sound of horse hooves walking on the hard-packed dirt street outside the house. So, this is really happening. When she heard the horses stop in front of the house, her heart stumbled and anxiety over the unknown hit her deep in her gut. Take a deep breath, Moonfire, she admonished herself. Be very brave. A light knock on the front door indicated her escort had arrived. She heard the low rumble of male voices, and soon a knock sounded at her door. Miss? Mary? The doctor's here to take you home. Mr. Weber's deep voice softened by his attempt to whisper.
I'm coming.
She took one last look around the room and wondered what her new home would look like. Gathering her things, she stuck her knife in the tall shank of her leather boots Mrs. Weber had given her last night. She supposed the woman was making a gesture of sorts in giving her the boots that were free of holes. She crossed the room and caught sight of herself in the mirror. Still unaccustomed to seeing herself in a white woman's dress with her fire-colored braid coiled at the crown of her head, she stopped for a moment to stare. The Utes didn't bother with mirrors. Her Ute mother had said it was vain for a woman to stare at her reflection. The Great Father made every being just as they should be, and to question his wisdom by thinking to change themselves would be foolish and disrespectful to the Great Father. She had only seen the tattoos on her face in the river's reflection. There, they were muted by the water's movement, and she had grown accustomed to the sight. But here, in this mirror, she saw the stark reality of what her captors had done to her. They had marked her as a slave, but she feared now all anyone would ever see was a victim. Someone to be pitied. A tear slid down her marred cheek as she flicked it away. She had not been able to stand up for herself when her family's attackers stole her away and murdered her family. But thanks to their cruel treatment and the kindness of her Ute family, now she was strong and she would be courageous in the face of whatever was to come. With one last look at the marks on the side of her cheek, she turned her back on them and opened the door to find Mr. Weber waiting in the hallway. Are you ready, ma'am? She had noticed the pity in the man's eyes since he had learned some of her story. She already hated it and knew there would be more in her future, but she would learn to ignore their looks. Yes, I am ready. She turned toward the front door without another word. She hoped this feeling of despair would improve as she grappled with her insecurities. She stepped outside on the Webers' front porch, the cold morning air stealing her breath away. But when her escort, Dr. Howard, turned to the sound of her footsteps on the wooden planks, something else stole her breath away. Good morning, Miss O'Brien. I was afraid you'd overslept after your emotional revelation yesterday. His words caught the fringe of her awareness, but it was his handsome features, along with his smiling dark eyes and bright smile, that pulled at her undivided attention. I could barely sleep, so there was no chance of my oversleeping this morning. She heard the breathiness in her words and tried to cover her awkwardness with a smile of her own. Well, we should get going. I'd like to make it to the base of the mountain before dark. The tall pines on the trail hide much of the sunlight's warmth, so I trust you are dressed warm enough? I'm dressed as warm as my new clothing will allow. It was a slight insult to her hand-me-down clothing some of the ladies in town had donated to her. Her dresses were a mix of summer cast-offs that did little to keep her warm, and to compensate, she layered the thin materials to put a barrier between her and the night air. It may be late May, but there was still snow on the mountain peaks, and when the wind blew across them, the snow turned the air chilly. What happened to your deerskins? You must have some, Dr. Howard asked. Surprised at the question, it took her a moment to answer him. It seemed her companion truly did know much about the Ute way of life. They were taken from me the moment I rode into town, she offered as an explanation and cast a resentful glance to Mrs. Weber, who was watching the exchange from the doorway. Dr. Howard sent her a knowing look and nodded. I understand. We can remedy any clothing requirements you may have when we get to Creed. I can assure you, once your brother learns you are alive and well, you will want for nothing. Shall we go? Does that mean he'll buy me more deerskins to wear? She would be happy to return to the soft comfort they provided. I'm not sure that's a good idea, at least in the beginning. With everything you're going to have to overcome.